Like,
I don't understand why you have to dig so deep into it.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 71st episode of the Mod State Podcast. This is the Weekend Beat, and 2018, like I said before, is fast approaching. So we hope everyone's got some good holiday plans on board, and you're going to enjoy the new year. So as always, if you like Mod State, go to modstate.com. Find all the links to the podcasts, our op-ed pieces, and our links to our social media accounts. Tonight, John and I discussed Twitter and the president's role in making Twitter a new, upgraded, or maybe not the right word, for the platform of Twitter in the presidency. But he's certainly setting a precedent. The president is setting a precedent. This is how I'm getting ready for this podcast. Anyway, we're going to talk about it. Let's get John on the line. All right, dude. Welcome back. How you doing?
Good to be back. Thank you, sir. I'm doing well.
Excellent. It's the weekend. We made it again.
We're just ready to raise that roof and be all like, whoop, there it is, because it's so true.
Whoop, there it is. That's a throwback. Jesus.
I mean, not necessarily apropos for the times, but then again, is anything?
No. Well, if the conservatives would have their way, we'd be going back in time, right?
Ooh.
There's a zinger.
Jesus. The filthy have inherited the earth, so I'm beginning to wonder if they don't have a point.
Yeah, well, you,
think about this. After 10 years of keeping up with the Kardashians, the number one, please, fact check me on this. Not just you, because you know that I'm not going to BS you here. But please, listeners, fact check me on this. The number one gift to a female high school graduate in Los Estados Unidos, yes, that's America, is breast augmentation surgery.
Really?
I rest my case.
What was the greatest gift? Say it again.
Breast augment. It's not, no, not the greatest. Well, it might be the greatest, because, but I use that word in the classical sense in reference to renown. But no, the most prominent gift, the most common gift to a high school graduating female, circa 2016, breast augmentation surgery.
No way. Right before college, huh?
Well, please, you got the internet right there.
Oh, yeah, I do. I'm going to take,
search, but I mean,
I'm gonna take your word for
have
it.
I've inherited the earth.
I'm going to take your word for it. I don't know.
I would not make this up.
Well,
so now, I mean, I see why certain men and women in this country are like, you know what? Burn down the whole rotten lot of them.
Hmm.
You know, throw the bombs out, throw the, you know.
I'm not entirely sure how I should think of, or how I should feel about that.
You're not.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to. Imagine you had a daughter.
Yeah.
And imagine what message that would be sending. You know, don't you objectify me. No, sweetheart, I don't have to.
No. See, part of me does the parenting bit, but I'm not a parent. The other half of me is...
We're not talking about people that are born with one not the same size as the other. It's not the same thing.
Oh, no. I mean, okay. Oh, boy. Well...
Yeah, with that, don't you objectify anybody. I mean, walking into the Saints game with my parents, I turned around and there were only 3-4 females behind me. I looked at my mom, she was like, what? I said, somebody just grabbed my cheek. And I was facing forward, so obviously not one of the ones, you know, above the shoulders.
Hmm.
But whatever.
Well, hey, you know what? It's an equal world out there, buddy.
Give them Barabbas.
Mm-mm-mm. Well, this is the Weekend Beat, and, you know, in the event that we make it to 2018, which we're on track to do, I felt compelled to go back and discuss something that has become mainstream in as a mode of communication, rather, that our dear president has brought to prominence, unlike any other president has ever done with a communications platform. Maybe I'm lying, though. You know what? Who knows? On the advent of the radio, maybe there was another president that, I don't know, abuse is not the right word, broadcasted their thoughts on a much more frequent basis.
He definitely talked about aggressively. He talked about grabbing cats in a more aggressive manner than we're used to serious presidential candidates engaging in.
I see what you did. Yeah, so we've had this president.
Do
who
you?
there I can't think of another president who's used a communications platform to talk about any sort of various topic more than the president has used Twitter.
Aside from the microphone.
Aside from the microphone, indeed. And
let's do it.
I don't think there is a person on planet Earth that people wait in earnest to see what they're going to say on Twitter. And I really don't think, I mean, obviously President Obama used Twitter, but it was more calculated, and it was far more.
Somebody was paid to.
Yeah. I think it was more of a spokesperson platform. It was far more diplomatic. But we were ushered into this era in 2017 where we literally could just sit back and wait when there was silence, and the president would make some sort of articulation in 140 characters or less. And it had such, everything that he says there has such impact. And it's interesting because everything the president says that's not confidential is actually cataloged and archived. So in, I don't know, like 30 years, 50 years, when we look back on history, we'll have everything the president said spoken, written, and typed on a phone, presumably.
Well, it could be good for us.
I mean, technically, it has kept the media on their toes, that's for sure.
It has kept the media alive. Okay, the fact that CNN is not number 4 or 5 or 69th in the greater echelon rankings is due to the candidacy of one Donald John Trump.
I believe that. It is interesting looking back now and looking at all these tweets and this form of communication. I don't think there was ever a president who could have a form of communication that would leave the world hanging, literally cliffhangers. And we would be wondering, what the hell is he thinking? What is going to happen? And I think case in point was when the president made a response, or excuse me, sent out a tweet that was left with a 13-minute gap on what he was going to follow up saying. And it almost alluded to the fact that we are going to go to war.
Bear in mind, I'm kind of sensitive to gaps in recordings.
I think everyone is. And when you have someone like the president who has the world stage, and it's just almost comical that he can leave the entire world in suspense just based on 140 characters. I mean, it really has been it's an unprecedented time for communication, and I don't know that you'll have another president that will ever, in however long the United States has a history, will ever communicate quite like the president we have now.
No, my father was right. He told me, he said, Johnny, you have quite the penchant, the stroke for timing. You left the Gulf South 8 days before Hurricane Katrina struck, and you launched a political publication in spring of 2016. And in reference to President Trump, before he was the president, he said, look, enjoy this time because it will never come again. And some people can say, oh, yippee-ki-yay, as far as I'm going, every day the media, whether they like this man, hate him, or they're somewhere in between, which doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of those now. Surely they're just zippity-doo-dah in the whole way to the printing presses, proverbially speaking, because we won't pass this way again. I mean, at the time he was just private citizen Trump. Might be arrogant, but he was speaking the truth when he said, "I'm the Hemingway of Twitter." He is.
Yeah. I mean, he really uses it in a way that to promote messages and to promote chaos and to promote any type of communication in a way that no other person ever has.
Well, forget your bent. Forget whether it's chaos or homogeny. Doesn't matter. Okay, the effectiveness. I can't do that in 140 characters. Hell, I can't do it now that they doubled the standard on Twitter.
Yeah. I mean, it's... I really didn't, and again, you bring that up. Hey, we started this, or you started this publication, and we started this podcast around the genesis of his presidency. And we have
co-founded, but it was my progeny. I mean, it's probably gonna get me locked up in one of those FEMA camps. But
I hope not. I haven't really followed much of what the president tweets out because there's just so much, and it's really not my place to make assumptions on what he says or not, but I don't think we would have the promotion of the narrative that we have talking about Russian collusion, the FBI. We wouldn't if there was a president that just didn't use Twitter or didn't use Facebook for that matter to promote his thoughts.
Would you agree with my very kind guesstimation, if you will, that 65-70% of the media is left of center? Yes.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
I think it's a very generous estimate. Well, if that's the case, if we're going to stipulate that, do you really blame him for taking his case to the people? I mean, why would you stop now? It's what got him the nomination. It's what won him the presidency. Again, we have no indication from all this investigation that he personally colluded. And second of all, that any vote tallies were changed. So why would you not stick with the girl you took to the prom?
I mean, it's very true. I think in his case, if he does feel like there's only one media source or two, like maybe Breitbart, but most definitely Fox, that's really covering him what he believes is fairly, then there is no point to really go to CNN, the MSNBCs, and the NBCs and give interviews. I mean, even today or yesterday, he gave a pretty candid interview to the New York Times with no staffers around, just him at Mar-a-Lago. He had these big wigs that pay money to go there coming and talking to him while he was giving this interview. I mean, it makes sense to use a platform that he can, that most people can relate to, that use it, and also just reach everyone in their living room or wherever, on the toilet in the morning, wherever they are. He has this method of communication that I think is unprecedented from any other presidency. Now,
would you be comfortable with that? Going down to, you know, near Miami to ATM, well, not quite, but West Palm and God knows who around. I mean, God knows, you got Steve Bannon in the next room just raving. God knows what, literally. Would you be down with that?
Down in Mar-a-Lago?
Sit and interview the president under those circumstances?
Well, I mean, given the opportunity, I mean, hell yeah. I would. I think it's, again, he goes off script, and that's what he can do with Twitter. He can go off script. He doesn't have someone in his ear. And I wouldn't be surprised, just based on his sort of cavalier nature of using that modality for communication, that he winds up in hot water. I mean, we even saw it with the tweets. Granted, his lawyer took credit for the one that almost looked like he knew what James Comey did before the investigation. I mean, if he winds up in hot water from Twitter, I mean, I would not be surprised. And I don't wish that. That's not my point. I just... You know, the presidency in the past has been it's like a statesman position. It's a diplomatic position. And when you have the ability to have streams of consciousness, as you describe it, you just never know what's going to happen. And I mean, we've seen, as Twitter as a modality of communication, we've seen lives ruined. I remember there was a lady who, and she's referenced in a book, but it's about public shaming, and she had made that quote about going to Africa and how she was afraid she'd get AIDS when she was going to get to Africa, but she doesn't have to worry about it because she's white. She turned off her phone, wound up in Africa, and she had lost her job and basically was the just destroyed on social media for the comments she made. Now, I'm not alluding to the fact that the president is going to do something crazy like that, but it just is so connected. It's such a almost unintimate way to communicate. And I think it's like a text, you know, you can't really flesh out any of the context because there's no body language. And you can get that from TV. You can almost get that from radio, but you just can't from Twitter. And I don't know how much of it, I have to imagine that he loves it. And I think that that's no surprise, but I don't.
So we're veering back to the president and Twitter now.
Yeah, well, yeah, I just went
Christ, you've been talking about that the whole time.
I have been. Did you know? That's the topic. Twitter.
AIDS and white women in Africa. I mean, well, all right. Look, I've seen jive turkeys before, officer, and believe me, I can tell you that. I mean, do we actually want to get into some of the president's tweets? I mean, I know you're dying to vivisect this man.
No, it isn't. You know, there's just so many damn tweets. I think
you love the shit. Don't lie.
I do. You know, I just think back in 2017, some words that we have really come accustomed to and normalized, and those are words like sad and fake news.
Bigly.
And it's interesting, and I see people's frustration and worry with this. And that is, we have, whether you like him or you hate him, it doesn't matter, and I'm not picking a side here, but what people have been worried about is this normalization of behavior, and that does tie into the mode of communication by which the president chooses to articulate his thoughts and his streams of consciousness. And I think probably his Twitter's far more articulated than a lot of his off-the-cuff speeches. And so it may be to his benefit that he continues to do so. But I think what we are seeing is this normalization of these words through Twitter, through ability to communicate. And I just don't think, I wonder now if this precedent has been set that people are going to expect future presidents to act in accordance with, you know, the way Donald Trump has used this platform. And I know that things could be far more dull when it comes to reporting just based on how much a president may tweet or may not tweet. I mean, I think the presidency is almost shrouded in a bit of almost mystery and almost secrecy. But with this president, there just isn't. We always know what's on his mind. We always know where his thoughts are. And I don't know how good that really is. It certainly is great for entertainment.
Let me ask you something. I'm going to rattle down a very brief index of topics here.
Okay.
And I want you to listen to each of these topics and tell me whether or not the average American under the age of 40
gives a shit.
What, not even that? Has any clue what I'm referencing here.
Okay.
We're not talking about our viewership. Okay? And hey, look, ignorance is one thing. You don't know about something. We're talking about something greater, and that's willful stupidity in this country. Case in point, 10 years of keeping up with the Kardashians. Again, I rest my case. All right?
Check.
No, you're crying about a $10,000 pearl earring that you lost in the ocean. A double dumbass on you.
Mm-hmm.
So let's review here.
Okay.
Okay. The fact that, again, look it up yourself. Your average American high school graduate, college student, could not on public television tell you where the Vietnam conflict took place. That's not a lie.
Huh.
Okay. The Berlin Wall. Desert Storm. Okay. Whitewater. You know, the Monica Lewinsky scandal. The 2000 hanging chat. Okay. You know, beyond 9/11, the Patriot Act. What did that have to do with? And then the latest polls. Okay, believing that because the individual mandate, should we say, not it wasn't a repeal, but it was certainly damaged materially in the tax bill. A third of Americans believe that President Trump and the Republicans have repealed Obamacare because of that. I mean, do I need to go on?
Yeah, those are interesting, interesting topics where it's...
Okay, and another one. Andrew Johnson was impeached by one Senate vote, was not convicted and removed from office. President Bill Clinton was impeached. He didn't even come close to one Senate vote. He wasn't even near to being removed from office. Richard Nixon, a lot of people say, oh, well, Nixon was impeached. No, Nixon resigned. We'll never know what the outcome of that would have been. That's just one example. Okay.
So these really are examples of historical events that are just lost on this generation. And well, under 40.
I really feel sorry for him is my greater point here. Donald Trump is America.
Yeah.
If you don't care to pay attention, you know, my father put it best, you want to change policy, you want to change legislation, every 2 years, it's not as sexy, but change a representative. Every 2 years, it's called the People's House for a reason. But you want to sit around and every 4 years, march and while occupy a space by sleeping, you know, while daddy PayPal's you, cool. But don't come crying to me when our choices are Hillary Clinton, really, and Donald Trump.
I mean, it's a fair...
I don't feel sorry for this country at all.
It's a fair point. I mean, even to piggyback off of what you said, I mean, even just the late night shows that will ask individuals to point out where North Korea is on a map. And of course they picked those people who couldn't find it, and who knows how many people actually could find it, but there
the fact
is
that anybody couldn't find it
is absurd in the first place. So yes, it doesn't
it's not physically challenged. We're not talking about those individuals.
No. We're talking about ordinary Americans who feel like they have an opinion and a viewpoint on something yet can't articulate it. And again, ignorance is bliss. If you don't know, you don't know. But it's a fair point to make. We
swap the platforms. They've done this a number of times.
Yeah, we have what we have because America voted that way, and it is a product of you know who. America is the product of, excuse me, Donald Trump is the product of America and who elected him. And this is what we get. We get a stream of consciousness on Twitter, and we most certainly, I guess maybe the silver lining here is it has informed or kept people more informed on what is going on, what potentially could go on, and actually, to be honest, has elucidated a bit on the branches of government. I think that is something that I found, terrifying, that the basic social studies classes that you have in seventh grade have not transferred into adulthood, and it's hard to even solicit an answer from somebody when you ask them the three branches of government and who occupies each one. I mean, that is basic responsibility of all citizens to know that kind of thing. And so you really can't get upset when you don't know.
Basic misnomer that Congress means the House of Representatives. No, it does not. Congress means the Senate and the House.
Yes.
Okay, I know that's a quibble, okay? But, you know, I'll say again, for any of our new viewership, I voted for Donald Trump. I don't apologize for it. Not saying he was my ideal candidate. They didn't have write-in candidates in the digital ballots in Metairie, Jefferson Parish, or I would have voted for my father. Okay, that was my intent. But more importantly, I voted against Hillary Clinton. And I feel quite vindicated in that, and that we look at, you know, we talked about this, the fact that, yeah, the GOP, some unknown candidate, started paying for this Russian dossier, then it goes to Hillary Clinton, the whole meeting with her spouse and the Attorney General at the time of the trial, then it goes to New York. and this is not conspiracy theory, okay? The DNC picked up the tab, and we talked about in the last podcast, that's what all their resources went into was her campaign. They picked up the tab for this Russian dossier, and yeah, I'm getting somewhere with this. Bring it full circle, I feel quite vindicated by going, I'm sorry. I would have, had he been the nominee, I would have considered voting for Bernie Sanders. I would have considered voting for Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I would have considered voting for a number of people. But I voted against Hillary Clinton. Okay? And you don't like that? Well, don't send her up to the plate.
Yeah. And it's, I think that sentiment is echoed by, you know, millions of Americans. I mean, that's why he's here. I don't think he was the ideal candidate for many people. And I think, even just as we're getting on with tweets, I mean, this is not necessarily a presidential individual.
Well, look at his tweets. He was right in something he said, I think, on the 26th, looking at the list, about the tax cuts, about how the media lied about it. I mean, we talked about a precast. It was there were not one, not two, but three different families that were held. I want to say it was CBS, but I don't want to be quoted on that. It was a mainstream cable outlet. It had these three families on an account, and it's to their credit they didn't pre-verify the content. But they expected this account to show all three of these families that were making under $300,000, how they were going to lose because of the GOP tax bill. Because, you know, oh, two-thirds of Americans are against it. Well, not one, not two, but three, all three families went from one was going to have a $1,500 tax break. At the highest was $13,000. And it was a humiliating affair for the media outlet. And again, I'm not saying this to say, oh, the GOP's really got your best interests at heart. But could we at least acknowledge that they're not out to harvest your children's organs and wreck up the place and sell your virgin daughters to zoos?
Yeah. Well, I think
he's got a point.
Yeah. And I guess with that being said, I can see how he can use something like Twitter to defend himself. And when you have... Where else is he going to do it? I mean, he doesn't have the time to hold press conferences every time he feels like he's being falsely accused or attacked. So it's a perfect modality to be able to defend himself. And again, it's like you said before, if the man found a cure for AIDS, we would still find a reason to hate him. And how do you defend yourself against that? How do you, when you feel like you're being backed in a corner or unfairly accused, or if not unfairly accused, but a disproportionate amount of attack is being funneled your way, where else would you go? I mean, I think I would probably do something similar.
So the fifth year of Mod State, you know, we're a successful magazine. Just play along here. Okay. And out of nowhere, we've got a number of accusations, 6-7 women, would say you, okay, it could be any of us.
Sure.
All right. But we pay because the embarrassment, I mean, that's understandable. People go, oh, why'd they settle? Well, because it's not really something, I mean, even if you're innocent, the accusation of something like rape and sexual harassment, we all know the damage that does.
Of course.
Okay, so we pay, you know, $300,000, whatever, to silence this. But then it comes out in the media, you've never been charged. You've never been arraigned, anything. But it's like, oh, Nate Wallein must resign. Really?
Yeah.
That's what we're looking at here.
Yeah, it's very similar. And, I mean, that's a fair analogy that I think rings true in a lot of these cases. But I wonder what I would do. I think the natural defense mechanism is to protect your honor and survive. And when all eyes are on you, where do you do that? I mean,
I would have a pistol on you if you try to head for the exit door.
Noted.
I mean, you know, I think my loyalty as a Nixon Republican goes without repeating.
Clearly.
But let's get into these dastardly tweets. I'm sure enough people are disgusted with me.
Let's
apologize for voting for Trump. Sue me.
Yeah, whatever. Let's see.
Yeah.
So there, I don't have the number of tweets because they're just quite endless. But I'm trying to scroll through here and find the ones that...
The very first one will dock at me is...
Even antagonistically, these morning tweets that are, you know, 9:16 after the cup of coffee. The good news is that the ratings are terrible. Nobody cares. With a link. Awesome.
This is what we're talking about.
Exactly. Let's see.
It's like that song, You're So Vain. It's like Beyonce's song, you know, I don't care about, you know, it's the song, if you like it, you should put a ring on it. You know, I don't care about you anymore. Well, that's a pretty funny way of showing you don't care, writing a song about them, but I digress.
Weighing in on small issues like the shoplifting issue in China. Very ungrateful.
The UCLA players?
Yeah, yeah. Let's see here. I've got them written down. I was trying to find the one over.
Sad.
Sad. These are the catchphrases here. Sad. Fake news. Nobody cares. Rocket Man.
You know, I think we should raise a class action lawsuit to compel Sir Elton to change the name of that song. You know, it's just not befitting. You know, no. Something must be done.
I mean, I'll give it to him. He's fairly articulated in, he articulates very well in these tweets. And if you were to read a off the cuff, speech you would give, it's very hard to even figure out what the hell he's actually talking about. Here it is. Here's his diplomatic. This was in November. Pocahontas just stated that the Democrats, led by the legendary crooked Hillary Clinton, rigged the primaries. Let's go FBI and Justice Department. That's awesome.
Meaning Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, Elizabeth Warren.
For the folks not in the know, the reason he calls her that is because she falsely claimed to have Native American heritage. Not saying it justifies the ethnic slur, but that's the full spectrum here.
Here's a good one. Here's a campaign promise. U.S. coal production up 7.8% since last year, down 31% last 10 years. Ending war on coal. # Awesome. Let's bring back coal. Everyone's really excited about that. Also, there is no collusion. There's another catchphrase.
I'm sure Derek Zoolander's family is happy about the revival of coal, but no collusion. Well, I mean, in his defense, again, there's been no link shown.
Very true. Very true. Again, having to defend
his own. No vote tallies have been shown to be changed. I mean,
yes.
Right.
And then, of course, his long-anticipated release of the JFK files will take place tomorrow. So interesting. So interesting that we didn't release all of them like he was supposed to. I mean, we could go on and on with these. I was trying to find the one on Rocket Man. But
I remember showing the speech to my nephews, you know, of him saying at the UN General Assembly, you know, Rocket Man is on a suicide mission. And of course, they cackled. They thought it was hilarious. I mean, as did I. I honestly thought it was kind of clever. You know, I mean, he was, as the English would say, taking the piss out of this guy. If nobody takes this seriously, all these predictions, oh, we're getting ready to go to war. Okay. Take that that admiral, the anonymous vice admiral, which I love. It's like, it's not really hard to narrow that down now, is it? But, you know, take that with a grain of salt. America's always getting ready to go to war. We're waging probably half a dozen undeclared wars.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, that's like saying the Roman Legion in 400 AD was getting, you know, ramping up for war. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just kind of milling through these, and I mean, there's just so many, and so many of them are pretty innocuous. I mean, they're nothing to really write home about, but it still amazes me that he can hold the world in such suspense with a platform like this. And it's interesting, as a free speech platform, I mean, people are calling for him to be blocked. And again, You know, I am not for the suppression of free speech at all, but I think it's almost a gift to have these.
You would think the Berkeley crowd would love the First Amendment being, you know, at their disposal here.
Yeah, you would think so. But anyway, you know,
you could post people enough audio tape and or rope, they'll hang themselves. But I mean, who am I? I'm not cool enough to hang out there.
No, neither am I. Someday, though.
Maybe if you had availed yourself better tonight attacking the president, an invite would be in store.
Now, on record, this is not an attack on the president. If he didn't use Twitter in the way he did, I wouldn't be talking about it. But I just, thinking
about... You held back.
I did hold back. I'm curious to see how this evolves, if it just has, but...
Mod State's low energy. Sad.
Yeah, hopefully if we interview the president, we get favorable tweets. But anyway.
Watch how he shakes my hand, man. He might just yank my already surgically repaired wrist out of socket.
I was going to say, I might have a dislocated shoulder, but I'm going to make sure I do plenty of push presses before, if we get to interview him.
So I wear my cast again, my splint on my wrist, just to, get a soft shake with the left hand.
Strong shoulders.
I've only had 9 surgeries on this forearm and wrist.
Jesus. Well, look, man, mm-hmm. we're going to be back this weekend, I think, to be able to drop one for your hungover ears on New Year's Day, if that's the way you roll. But I am looking forward to 2018. I really am. I think we can ride this momentum. And again, there has always been much to talk about. And especially from I just don't think there would be a presidency, any other presidency, that we would talk more about. Maybe with the Hillary administration, maybe we'd have more to talk about. I don't know, but it's definitely kept us on our toes, and I've enjoyed every damn minute of it. That's for sure.
You wouldn't have a watchdog mainstream media helping you along, though.
That is very true, 100%.
Coronation was ready.
Indeed. So, well, look, man, we'll reconvene this weekend and push out some.
I get it. You got better fish to fry, prettier dogs to pet.
Oh, you're not a fish or a dog, my friend. You're a wonderful human being.
No. I'm much lower than that as an excellent Republican. You know, I'm in the dictionary between reptilian and Republican.
I was going to say, maybe not quite human, but definitely better than those.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, per tradition, you know, I love you.
You love me.
You love me, We're one. I can't even finish the whole thing.
Big, happy family. All right, my brother. We'll talk to you soon. See ya.